Joining me on the phone now, Senator Tom Casperson of Escanaba, who also chairs the Senate Transportation Committee. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening, Cheryl.
Good. Did you make it off the floor to your office?
We did. We're finished up for the day.
I understand it was a long day.
We had a long day. We tried to pack a bunch in, and we pretty much got it done.
Well, very good. If we have time, we can ask about that a little bit. I wanted to talk to you in your role as chair of the Senate Transportation Committee, as I mentioned off the top. You were one of the co-sponsors of a bipartisan bill to create a regional transit authority in southeast Michigan. It's a long way from Escanaba, sir.
It is. It is, absolutely. But, you know, talking with some of the folks and being the chairman of transportation, I was approached and was asked if I'd consider it. And I certainly understand that the regions are different. The Upper Peninsula doesn't need a light rail system, things like that. We have different approaches to that, but Detroit certainly could use something like that and southeast Michigan. So hopefully I can offer a lending hand here. And I think I got kind of a neutral opinion about it. I don't walk in into any biases. So hopefully I can bring that to the table and kind of help out.
Well, and I think the bipartisan support in this is important to show the importance of such a regional transit authority.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree, and I do think bringing in the Upper Peninsula twist would probably help a little bit too. You know, I don't have the West against the East and that kind of stuff, so hopefully we can get around all that and get people talking and coming together.
As you have studied and taken a look at the idea of this, what do you think the impact on the region would be in the benefit?
Well, I think the benefit is, you know, it would be more of a promotional encouragement for business, for people to come into the greater Detroit area and access the area. I've been down there quite a few times myself. And for the outsider, especially coming in, sometimes it's difficult to get around. When you set up a light rail system and you streamline things, I think that only helps. And Detroit has a lot to offer. And I just think at the end of the day, if they can get something put in place like that, where everybody's working together, it only will help Detroit. It'll help the business community over there. They're going to see the cooperation. And I think with that type of attitude, that's what I see as a change in helping the process.
Well, and you mentioned in some press information that came out the economic and the social opportunities this could give to the area.
Yeah, absolutely. And that all gets to the idea of, you know, especially folks from the outside coming in, the easier you make it for people to get around in the city and move them, you know, to where they want to go, just I think makes it a lot easier and encourages people to participate.
And when we're talking about the regional transit authority, that's what we're speaking of is a light rail system for moving people.
We are, and it ties right into the whole busing system that's going on right now in Detroit, which, again, all those things need to be, I think, worked on and coordinated probably in a little better fashion. But I think light rail coordinating with the busing is exactly what's needed there. And I think with the right coordination, the right people watching this or overseeing it, I think can make it happen.
Well, and it sounds like there's some federal dollars that are coming our way to Michigan already, and that could be a big boon to the area as well.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons that we did sit down and talk about it. And if it's coming, then why not try to put together an authority and then put it to the best use? But you need to have the people in place ready to go, and so that's kind of the urgency here right now.
Well, very good. Where is this in the process, sir?
It's in the committee process. They have to be reported to the committee. We're going to be done here shortly for a break, going into the July break, so we can spend some time up in district. My plan is to spend some time down in Detroit. I've talked to Senator Johnson, and we're going to set some meetings up down there. I need to get familiar with some of the players down there. So we're going to have some hearings down there probably before we take it up and kind of feel the lay of the land. There may be some changes to the legislation before we even get started. So that's the process right now, is to get down to Detroit and sit down with people and start talking about it.
As we talked about off the top, Senator, it was a long session today. Anything in particular jump out for you of importance? I mean, it's all the state's business and important.
Well, actually, if you'll give me just 2 seconds, maybe I'll talk a little bit about a piece of legislation I just passed out of the Senate today. It involves the Department of Natural Resources and the land holdings that we have. And what I've put in place is a land cap. Now, some people get nervous and think I'm saying the department can't buy any more land, but actually what I've done is I've raised that cap very high. It allows for the department to continue buying land, but we believe at the end of the day there's got to be an end game. You can't just continue to keep buying state-owned land. And they're at almost 4.6 million acres right now that they own. We've imposed a 17,000-acre cushion, so they can keep purchasing land tomorrow. If they find the right piece of land, they can keep buying it. But we needed to deal with that because we're, especially in the northern part of the state, not just the Upper Peninsula, but northern lower, where the state has a lot of land holdings around our local communities, our local governments, because of the PILT payment, the payment in lieu of taxes, which is what the state pays on state-owned land. It's a lot less than what the average citizen would pay, and it's created some problems for our local units of government and our schools. And I've got some townships that have 80% of the land owned by the state. So we're just trying to get a balance going here, and my colleagues agreed with me, and we moved it out of the Senate. It's on its way over to the House.
So the cap is at another 17,000 acres?
Yeah, the cap is above the current number they own today.
Okay.
We've added 17,000 acres to that actual number so they to come to the cap. So they can actually, like I said, keep buying land. And we got that number based on the last 10 years of purchases. They had a net gain of 30,000 acres in the last 10 years.
Okay.
So we went a little better than half of that, so roughly in 5 years. 5 years worth of purchasing land, that'll give them 5 years to adjust. Now, they can continue to buy, but if you're going to get close to the cap, then they'll have to sell off some holdings. And the state actually owns a lot of land that was reverted land back in the Depression days, that some of that land, they didn't go out and seek it and buy it. They just ended up with it. So we think some of that could be let back to the public.
And I'm guessing the pushback that you get on this is people saying, well, we don't want a cap because if we find available properties that we think would be useful for the state to own, we don't want to be restricted.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. So one of the other things we did was we incorporated carve-outs where, let's just say there's a chunk of land they need to put a trail access together to connect trails for recreational activities. That's all exempted. If they have to purchase the land to get the trail connector, they can continue to buy the land, and it doesn't go against the cap. All the conservation easements that they have doesn't go against the cap. We have commercial forest land where large land companies owned a lot of land, and they go into the Commercial Forest Act, which gives them a tax break, but they also have to let the public use that land for recreational purposes. That land, any of that comes up for sale, the department can buy it, and it will not be applied to the cap. So we've made a lot of provisions for the recreational side of this thing so that if they need to access, they can get it.
Well, very good. I'm guessing you and I are going to have a couple more conversations about this as this moves along as well. I so appreciate you telling us about this. I'd heard about it, but I didn't know it had gone through that process today, so I appreciate your letting us know. Thank you, Senator, as always, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We've been